Hi, everyone. I'm back. Troy's not here. We sent him on a foreign mission trip. And so this past week, he's been getting some firsthand experience in Chicago, Illinois. No, seriously. He's attending a leadership conference, and he's the most disappointed that he's not here. But he's on his way back, and he'll be back here next week. And so it's my privilege to get to share with you again this morning. Well, what do you think about the weather? Isn't it great? This past week, Sandy and Suzanne and the girls and I were in Houston, Texas. Wow. We got off the plane, we got the rent car, drove to where we were going, and as I got out, I forgot this, as I got out, my sunglasses fogged up. Wow, that humidity is awful. But when we flew back into Salt Lake City on Thursday afternoon and stepped off the plane, wow, I thought, what happened? It was so cool. It was wonderful. But I tell you, this just touch of fall in the air makes me think about only one thing, college football. And I wanted to get my Utes hat and my flag and get ready for the season because, you know, they're starting to practice. And there's a lot of new coaches in the league today. And just about every new coach gets his players together and says, now, guys, we're going to have to get back to basics. We're going to have to get back to the fundamentals. We're going to have to learn basic blocking and tackling. So the message that I want to bring to you today is very simple. And we need to hear it from time to time. And it's about the basics of being a follower of Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I'm reminded that where two or more are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst of us. And so we don't have to beg or ask you to come because you're here. And in the worship, your presence was so heavy, almost like you're brooding over us this morning. God, I pray that you communicate what you want to communicate, and that we will listen and we'll receive and hear and apply. I ask you this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do." I have had this urge, if you will, a compulsion to say this. We are all God's creation. You may have been told that you were just an accident. You're not an accident with God. You may have been told that your life is worth nothing. But I want to tell you, in the name of Jesus, inside each of us is a treasure, a valuable treasure. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how old you are. God still has time to create a vessel of honor, an instrument that he can use for his glory. So you see, one of the first basic things we need to understand is that God is our creator. And when we surrender our lives to him and we submit to his authority, he begins a process in us. He begins to work on us. He begins to get anything that does not line up with Jesus out of us. And it's a process. When we make the decision to journey with Jesus, God's grace helps separate us from the sin that may have controlled us, and we become a dedicated follower of Jesus. Simply, it's about lordship. It's about lordship. Like a blacksmith, God will take and purify our metal with fire. And everything that's not of Jesus has got to go. Then he'll take that metal and put it on the anvil, and he will bring the hammer down, and he will shape us into a vessel that is pleasing to him and for his glory. Because you see, he's in charge. He's in charge, and he must have his way. And guys, he knows what he's doing. I wish I could tell you that that process will last a month. For me, it's lasted a lifetime and still continues. You know, when I think back over my life, and if someone would have said to me, Dennis, there'll be a time when you will be standing in front of a group of people at Capitol, and you will be speaking on my behalf. I wouldn't have believed that. How did that happen? Well, it started many, 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 many years ago. You see, I was in charge of my life. I was the master of my destiny. I made the decisions. I knew what I wanted. But there was this emptiness in me. And God continued to pursue me. And he began to show me that I was not as good as I thought I was, and that there was sin in my life. And at some point, I quit running from him, and I made a conscious decision to give him my life and make him my Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. When Jesus is in charge of our lives, old habits, attitudes, baggage, that begins to fall away. Maybe not overnight, but behold, he begins to make all things new. Got a minute? Got a story. There were two ladies who traveled to Europe, and while in Europe, they liked to shop all the quaint little shops. And as they were shopping, in this one shop, they noticed this magnificent teacup up on the top shelf. I mean, it was beautiful. So they knew they couldn't leave without having that cup. So they asked the shopkeeper, could you take that cup down and let us look at it more closely? So he did, and he handed the teacup to them. And as they were looking at it, the little teacup began to speak. Now, this is where I need you to use your imagination with me, okay? Just hang in there. So this is what the teacup said. You know, I wasn't always this way. Not long ago, I was just a piece of gray clay. But the master came and picked me up, slapped me down on a wooden wheel, and began to roll me and press me out. Well, you can imagine, I did not like that one little bit. What was he doing? I said, hey, take it easy. Don't be so rough. He acted like he didn't even hear me. So I cried louder. Would you please stop? And the master said, not yet. Then he turned on this wooden wheel, and it began to spin. I started feeling sick, and I said, stop it, please. I'm getting dizzy. He said, not yet. By the time he finally stopped the wheel, he had shaped me into this teacup. But that's not the end of it. Next, he put me into this oven. He turned up the heat. Every now and then, he would come over and look at me through this little window. I screamed, man, get me out of this oven. It's so hot in here. Man, you're killing me. I don't like it. I want out this instant. He said, not yet. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity, he took me out of the oven and placed me on a shelf and left me alone. I said to myself, finally, the nightmare is over. Well, No sooner had I got those words out of my mouth than he took me down and started painting designs all over me. That paint stunk so bad, I was gagging. I begged him to stop, but he kept painting and said, "Not yet." When he finished painting, he turned the oven back on and turned the heat up to twice as high as before. He placed me in that inferno, and I did not go peaceably. I kicked and screamed and cried, but to no avail. He just wasn't listening to me. Finally, he took me out of the oven and set me back on the shelf. He then brought a mirror and placed it before me. What I saw was so beautiful. I started out as just a lump of gray clay, but the master transformed me and made me into something beautiful. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. We are God's workmanship. Isn't it awesome to think that God, the creator of the universe, so massive, would be so interested in us individually to take the initiative to mold us and shape our lives into something beautiful and pleasing to him? I think that is just awesome. I don't know how God deals with you, but for me in this process, we're still in the process. We're still on the journey. The vessel's not complete yet. I told you that I recognized that there was sin in my life. And so I asked for forgiveness, and he forgave me. The Bible says in 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Behold, the old things pass away, and all things are starting to become new. But you know, that wasn't the end of it. Yes, I was forgiven, but there were things in my life that needed to change. I'm sure God would just say, "Man, this guy is going to need a lot of work." And so we start the process. But with me, it was with baby steps, little by little, one thing at a time. Do any of you remember ice cube trays? Oh, man, not a hand went up. Oh. Well, when I was a boy, we didn't have ice makers. So we had ice cube trays. So when I wanted a cold drink, I would go to the freezer, open it up, get the ice cube trays out, crack them, fill the glass, and put the empty tray back in the freezer. Anybody ever done that? Well, as you journey with the Lord, as he becomes Lord, he has a way of communicating with you. I don't know how to explain that. But inside, I began to receive some correction. So when I put the ice tray in, "Dennis, don't do that. Go fill up the ice tray, put the water in it, and put it back in the freezer." "Yes, Lord." Okay. So that was ice trays. Anybody have a problem with shopping carts? Well, I go to Target or Walmart, and we fill up the cart, come to the car, put the stuff in the car, the shopping cart's empty, and way down there, 20 feet maybe, way down there, is this shopping cart return. But it was so much easier just to kind of slip it between two cars, make sure it doesn't touch the cars. Just slip it between two cars and get in and go. Anybody ever done that? Well, here's another part of obedience, Dennis. Don't do that anymore. You go put that up where it's supposed to go. So it was about little things in the beginning, but then things got deeper. We even had to go over some things several times. And I would say, "God, haven't we done this before? Have we dealt with this before?" He's so patient. He's going to spend as much time as necessary to make sure that I understand, and if a behavior needs to change, that that behavior changes. So, okay, we deal with a tough issue, and I go, thank God that's over. We're done. I can rest. Well, not for me, because we're on to the next thing immediately. He just takes us as we are. We're just a lump of gray clay with imperfections and blemishes and weaknesses and faults. But he loves us anyway. He has placed in us a treasure, a valuable treasure. And he's going to continue to work on us to get out of us what's in us. Anything in us that does not line up with his son has got to go. Because ultimately, the transformation is transforming us to become more and more and more like Jesus. Isn't that great? There's an old chorus that I love called Something Beautiful. It goes like this. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Sounds great, right? Sounds easy. Lord, just make something beautiful in me. Are we totally surrendered to God? Are you totally surrendered to God? Do you yield to the Master's hands, or do you go kicking and screaming and complaining? I think we all recognize that there are going to be some things that God's going to do in us that are not going to be pleasant. But spiritual growth sometimes comes with pain. You ever peeled an onion? Ever got a nice big Vidalia onion right up close to your face and started peeling the layers back? What happens when you do that? You cry. You cry. Tears come. Well, in the same way, the Holy Spirit will begin to peel those areas in your life that do not line up with Jesus. And sometimes it'll hurt. But the process is important. And remember, the end result is a beautiful vessel, an instrument that he can work through. Well, I thought it might be important to share with you one of those deeper areas in my life. Just trying to be transparent with you. And it was in the area of giving. You see, I loved my things. I loved my boat. I loved my travel trailer. I loved my pool. But I especially loved my candy apple red GMC pickup truck. It came with a bed liner, dual fuel tanks, chrome wheels, leather interior. It was absolutely beautiful. It was my truck. No one drove my truck. No one played with my things. They're my things. And God began to peel every little finger away from these things. Well, listen, when you get a truck, I think it's a curse. Because what happens when people find out you have a truck? Can I borrow your truck? Well, it happened to me. A couple of elderly ladies called me and said, "Hey, Dennis, what are you doing on Saturday?" I said, I guess nothing. "Can we borrow your truck?" I said, "What do you need my truck for?" "Well, we're moving." "You don't have to come, but can we borrow your truck?" Do you know how painful that was for me to say? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Sure, you can borrow my truck. So they did. They came, borrowed the truck, spent the whole day moving, Brought the truck back. I went out. And guess what? All along the bed, scratches. All over my truck. But you see, God had delivered me from that. It didn't matter to me anymore. This area of giving was finally over. But there was another area of giving, and it involved my wallet. It didn't take long for the Holy Spirit to talk to me about money. I knew we should give. No problem with that. I understand that. But every message I heard, every Christian radio station I turned to, the subject, the topic was something they called tithing. I never heard of tithing. I didn't know what that meant. So I asked somebody, I said, what does it mean to tithe? Well, they said, oh, that's easy. It means giving 10% of your gross. I said, are you kidding me? 10% of my gross? I can't do that. So I said, God, have you seen my bills? He said, let me ask you this. If you didn't have any bills, would tithing be such an issue for you? You give me 10, I keep 90. No, I can live off 90, easy. He said, fine, start tithing and get out of debt. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago that we had two daughters, and I don't know how we got through 8 years of college and two weddings. But all I know is this. If you are faithful to God, He will be faithful to you. If you're faithful to God, He will be faithful to you. It was a tough decision. But we gave God our finances. We started tithing. It's an issue of lordship and obedience. Now, let me just issue a word of caution here. God knows what He's doing. Took me a long time to figure that out. I thought I knew best. But God really does know what He's doing. And while He'll let us rant and rave and kick and scream, it's dangerous to be disobedient, stiff-necked, and defiant. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9, destruction is certain for those who argue with their Creator. Does a clay pot ever argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Be careful in challenging God's right to do His will His own way. So the bottom line is, when we totally surrender to God, when we make that conscious decision to be a follower of Christ, a beautiful, transforming work begins in your life. The easier you make it for God, the easier it will be for you, the sooner you'll get out of the oven. Have you ever tried to swim upstream? Man, that's hard, and you get tired really quickly. But swimming with the current is so much easier. Yield. But if you insist on being self-centered, God will not give up on you. He'll just take the vessel that He was going to craft for you, take your gray clay, squash it, and put it back on the spinning wheel. And He'll fashion another instrument that's pleasing to Him. In Jeremiah chapter 18, it reads, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good for the potter to do. I'm so grateful that God is patient with us, that God gives us chance after chance after chance. I wish I could tell you that I've always made it easy for God to shape and mold me. I haven't. I wish I could tell you that I've never been selfish or self-centered. I have. I wish I could tell you that I've stiff-armed him here and put up blocks and... But I have. And yet, he's chosen to mold me into another vessel that's pleasing to him. There's two important things that I think we can take away from the story. First, our submission determines to a large extent what he can do with us. He's given you a free will. Our submission determines to a large extent what he can do with us. And second, a lack of fervent commitment to God, being a mediocre Christian, being lukewarm, having very low passion for Christ, can hinder what he can do with us. And sometimes we may be destined just to become just ordinary pots, ultimately destined for the trash heap. But I have great news for you. If you recognize the sin that's in your life, if you repent, God will take that clay pot and squash it and put it back on the wheel and make something else out of your life. What kind of vessel will you become? Will you be a beautiful teacup? Or maybe even a vase? Will you be extraordinary or just ordinary? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself, listen to that. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. My heart's desire, I hope it's your heart's desire, is to please him. At the end of this thing, at the end of my life, I want to stand before him and have pleased him. There's another song that I love. Listen to the words. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And I know some of you got this question in your mind. You haven't said anything about good works. That's a question. I'm glad you ask it. Because in John chapter 6, the disciples asked Jesus the same thing. They asked, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus replied, now listen to this. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. It's not about works. It's about relationship. You see, I've learned that it's more important to become like Jesus than it is to do things for Jesus. Because we can't earn God's favor. We can't. We can't earn God's favor by just living a good life, by just being a good person. We can't earn God's favor by coming to church. We can't even earn God's favor in doing good things in ministry, which are all good. But you cannot earn your way into the kingdom. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For it is by grace that you are saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Once we make that conscious decision, that beginning step to become a follower of Christ, we then have a responsibility. We have to get to know Him. We have to follow closely behind Him. We have to learn about Him. We have to spend time with Him. We have to love Him. We have to become like Him. I remember living in Atlanta. Sandy and I were there for probably 11 years. We raised our girls there, and we were involved in church. We were part of a youth choir. We taught Sunday school. We did other things. I mean, every day of the week, we were doing something for Jesus. And for 10 years, my company had been trying to get me to move to Cleveland. Atlanta, Cleveland. So one day, I came home and said, "Sandy, company is after me again. They would like me to move to Cleveland." I told them no. She said, "I think we should go." I said, "Who are you? And what did you do with Sandy?" Well, what I learned, ladies, is that sometimes God will prepare your heart for a change long before the males get it. And so I said, "Are you sure?" So we prayed together and we felt that that was what God wanted us to do. Well, I want you to understand, when we looked at Cleveland from Atlanta, all we saw was darkness. Darkness. We knew not one person in Cleveland, Ohio. Here we are, involved in a large church, involved in ministry, lots of Christian friends. Oh my goodness, it was just heaven. And I cried out to God one day. I said, "God, I just don't understand this. Why do you want us to move to Cleveland when we're doing such good work here?" He said, "Dennis, you're too comfortable. I'm no longer the center. I have to be the center." And he loved me enough to cut my list. And I was able to get him back in the center of my life. So, what's the application for our lives today? Well, first of all, we have to realize what our relationship is to God. He's the creator. He's the potter. And we are the clay. We are his workmanship. He knows what he's doing, believe it or not. We have to realize, too, that he loves us enough to spend the time to shape us and to mold us into the image of Jesus. He's always pursuing us. I ran from God for probably 15 years. You know, he's pretty fast. You look behind and there he is, nipping at my heels again. How long will you run? How long, as a follower of Christ, will you run before you finally understand that he has to be the Lord of your life? When you find those things, when he brings them to your attention, those things that are not pleasing to him, repent. Ask for forgiveness. Fall in love with Jesus. Trust him to complete the work in you. Yield to him and persevere in the process. It's not always easy, but I promise you, it's worth it. And be ready for the good works that he will bring to you. Good works are an outflow of love. It's not to earn anything. It's just my love, because Jesus is the center. So let me close with this. In a group this size, there may be at least four types of people here. You may be a follower of Jesus, and you've walked with the Lord a long, long time. But for whatever reason, you've been sidetracked. You may be sitting literally on the side of the road. In your spirit, you're down. Let me encourage you today that God wants to refresh you. He wants to restore you. He wants to revive you. He wants to fan the flames of fire that are in your soul and get you back up and on the journey. You may be here and your life is full of busyness and things, good things that you're doing, so much so that at the end of the day you're just exhausted. And Jesus is not the center anymore. Pray for balance. Pray that He will give you those things out of His love as you accept Him back as the center. And there may be those here that are running. Oh, you're a follower of Christ, but you're running. Yeah, I want. No, I'm saved, but I still want to control my destiny. I still want to make the decisions. I want to lead my life. You're running. How's it working for you? There's only one person that can fill the emptiness that you seek, and that is Jesus. And finally, there may be those here who may not even have a relationship with Jesus. You don't even know what we're talking about when we say a follower of Christ. If God is pursuing you, and let me say, He will pursue you. He loves you. He will pursue you. At some point, when you need to make that decision, you can make that decision to become a follower. In fact, today could be your best opportunity to become a follower of Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, this has been a simple little message about getting back to basics, about understanding who we are and who You are. But God, what we hear loud and clear is that we're precious in Your sight, even with all the blemishes and things. You still love us. And that You've placed within us a treasure, something valuable, something beautiful that You want to shape and mold and create. God, I pray that there would be some nugget of truth from what we've shared today, that people would allow it to be received in their spirits. God, I pray for those who need refreshment. For those who are weary, the journey's been difficult. They've been sidetracked. They're not in the journey. God, would You just go to them and revive and refresh them? We need them so desperately in this church. For those who are doing so many good things for You, God, that they've forgotten about You, would You become the center again in their lives? Help them to reorder. Help them to prioritize. But God, always be the center. For those, God, who don't know You, who are not sure what to do, God, would You just help them come to that point of decision? And for those who are running, God, I know You love a hard head. I was a hard head. God, help us to come to the end of ourselves and recognize that Jesus is Lord. God, bless this group. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with me?